How many times do you wash your hands a day? So most people nowadays, I don't know how many times they wash their hands. Everyone tells you to wash your hands, you so, but there's always sanitizer outside the bathroom.
You say wash your hands, wash your hands.
Oh, very good. So there are certain times a day, depending on what you're doing, that there is a mitzvah or a banan to wash your hands, and we sort of call it ritual washing. What are you supposed to be thinking when you wash your hands? So I started thinking about this. Why did I start thinking about this? I'll tell you, because you asked. In Parshas Pekudei at the end, we're told that Moshe Rabbeinu, everything's built, everything's ready to go. HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually delays him and says, don't put it up yet. Which is interesting. And the first... very beginning. Nisan, so we're coming up to, was the inauguration of the Mishkan. And Moshe Rabbeinu is told, okay, set it up. And he sets it up, and the Torah describes, he set this up, and he set this up, and he set that up. Did they wash their hands? So one of the, should we use the word vessels, or just call them kalim? No one uses the word vessel. Anyway, please pass the vessel. So we'll just call them kalim, because what's the difference? You don't use that word either. So one of the kalim of the Mishkan was the kiyor. The kiyor was some kind of fountain, but it wasn't just constantly pouring out water for decorative purposes. It was for washing of their hands and feet simultaneously of the kohanim, because everything was basically covered except for their hands and their feet, their face also, but they had a hat. So they had to wash their hands and feet before they would do the avodah. Would you say, Josh, that's considered part of serving God? Is that part of serving Hashem? So in the parshios that instruct us in everything about the Mishkan, everything is listed in Parshas Truma. And then there's a break that talks about all of the clothing of the Kohanim. And then I forgot one! And there's also this really cool thing called a Mizbeach for Ketores, for incense, spices. So it's a little strange that it's not included with everything else in Parshas Truma. It's broken up by Big Day Kahuna, all the clothing. Okay, but fine. At least it's in Truma Tetzaveh, you know? Then all of a sudden comes Kisisa, and we're told about you have to collect shkalim from everybody. One more! And there's a kior. There's this fountain they have to wash their hands and feet from before they do the avodah. So the Sfarno, the Netziv, they point out, obviously this keli was not part of the service of Hashem. It's, what would you call it? It's a prereq. It's preparatory. So that's the first thing we should consider. What should we consider? I have a question. Why in the world do we wash our hands before we eat bread? The Rambam. Let's start with this. The Rambam says something. Okay, it's not really shocking because I don't think anybody really cares that much. But he does say something that when you start learning halacha is striking. And the Rambam writes in Hilchos Brachos, Perek Vav, Halacha Beis, said no. You're going to look it up later. Yeah. He says, "Kol anel tel yadav, whoever washes his hands, bein la'achila, bein l'kriyashma, bein l'tefila." He listed three things. Whether it's for eating, which of course, he doesn't mean eating. What does he mean? What eating what? I assume he means bread, right? Whether it's for kriyashma, and whether it's for tefila. Do you know what tefila refers to specifically? Shmona Esrei. Right, tefillah specifically Shmona Esrei. Whenever you find Chazal and they talk about tefillah, it doesn't mean like davening in general. It means specifically Shmona Esrei. So well, let me ask you just a quick question while we're on it. Why did the Rambam distinguish between Kriyas Shema and Shmona Esrei? Aren't you doing it at the same time anyway? So the answer is because they're really independent mitzvahs. There is a mitzvah or darbanan to daven, and Shema really is not technically related. We do relate them. And they're supposed to be connected because the brachas are supposed to be connected. We're supposed to connect geula to tefillah. What does that mean? Because the bracha after Shema is Gaal Yisrael. And we're supposed to go straight into davening from that. Which we're not going to discuss now, but it's a fascinating concept. Why should that be? The idea seems to be, we talk about Yetzias Mitzrayim, and we're so emotionally charged by remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim, that's what it means, Goel Yisrael, not Goel Yisrael, like we say in Shema Yisrael, Hashem redeems us now, but He did redeem us in the past, Mitzrayim. We're so enthused and emotionally charged, we go straight in and daven to Hashem, which you have to be awake in the morning, and clearly no one was awake this morning because we changed the clocks, so. But it's an interesting idea, and it could be a powerful idea if you think about it. Okay, so the Rambam says, whether you're washing your hands for eating, Shema, or davening, mevarech tchila, you make a bracha first, asher kitshanu meisav zivon on netilas yadayim. Which, did he really mean tchila? Because usually we make the bracha after we wash our hands, because maybe our hands are dirty, so you gotta make the bracha when your hands are clean. Okay, whatever it is. But you see the Rambam says there's a mitzvah to actually make a bracha before you wash your hands for eating, Shema, and davening. Wow! Do we do that? We only make a bracha for what? Bread. We wash our hands for bread. We do not make a bracha when we wash our hands for davening, correct? In fact, I'm not sure most people know you're supposed to wash your hands for davening. Shulchan Aruch, by the way, in Siman Sadi Beis, says that that's a halacha, that you're supposed to wash your hands for davening. It says here, Sadi Beis, Dalit, you have to wash your hands in water. If you have water, if you don't have water, you have to first figure out what a Persian mile is. It may take some time. And then, that's how far you're supposed to go to find water. I'm disappointed that no one thinks my jokes are funny today, but it's only because you're tired, not because my jokes aren't funny. That's only because you could find water relatively easily. Okay, anyway, etc., etc. If a person is afraid that in that amount of time he's not going to end up fulfilling his obligation to daven because the time of daven is going to pass, so you can wipe your hands in something else. Yeah? Just make sure they're clean. So l'chadchila, you're supposed to actually use water. And b'diavad, as long as you know they're clean, well, Shulchan Aruch says you're supposed to clean them. We'll have to discuss what happens if you know your hands were clean, but you didn't clean them at all, even by wiping them. Is that a problem? Why am I even suggesting such a concept? Also a Rambam. Because the Rambam, in the halachas of tefillah, says actually there are five things that prevent your tefillah from being good. There are five things that a person, if he doesn't do it, there's not yotzei his tefillah, and you'll never believe what one of them is. Take a guess. Washing your hands. So that's a little shocking, right? But that's what the Rambam writes. So here it's in the fourth parak. In Hilchos Tefillah, the Rambam writes, "Chamisha Devarim Ma'akven Asat Tefillah." Five things prevent his tefillah from being good. Afal Bishigi Zmana Taras Yadayim, purity of hands. And in Beis he says, "Taras Yadayim Keitzan." What does it mean, purity of hands? Rochet Yadav B'Mayim Ara Perek VeChar Kachispal. You have to wash your hands until where it connects to your arm, and only then daven, etc., etc. Let me talk about the details over there. No, that's all he's discussing in terms of procedure. But how far do you have to go to get it, and you know those kinds of things. What if imay rachok? If you really can't find water, you just clean your hands with something else. What if you know all the details of what happens if you know they're clean basically ahead of time? What if you've been keeping track of your hands? You know all those kinds of things that you'd have to work at the nitty gritty.
Is there a number of times some people go back and forth?
So the Rambam certainly does not mention anything like that over here, and in fact, it's not in Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Tefillah either. But we should take a look as we go a little bit. But bottom line is, it seems on the surface, it's just, well, that's kind of the question I want to ask. So we do this, at least when we wash for bread, we do wash our hands, and it could be, or it could not be, we'll start off assuming that there's a difference between washing your hands for bread and washing your hands for davening. Why am I saying that? Because in Shulchan Aruch, when it talks about washing your hands for bread, so this is a little unusual. Do you know why we wash our hands for bread? The basic reason is because, and this is, a little bit striking, unusual, first time you hear it, is because we want to make sure that the Kohanim wash their hands because they're going to be eating truma. What? Because truma has such significance and kohanim would be regularly eating it, so we want to make sure that their hands are tahor when they touch the truma. So we have to get entire Klal Yisrael used to washing for bread, so that kohanim won't even think twice about it, and then they won't have an issue of being mitameh their truma.
Would kohanim wash their own hands for bread? Or would they have?
I mean, without this halacha, what do you mean? Yeah, they would have to.
Wash their own hands, or would they have
Oh, someone else do it for them? No, they don't have to have somebody else do it for them. So that's that's an interesting thing, no? Mishnah Berurah, then he discusses this. Just give me a second. He does point out that there is a secondary reason as well. What does he say? So if you take a look, if you want to look up inside, in Kufnan Ches, the very beginning of the Mishnah Berurah, he says the reason for Tilas Yadayim is two reasons. One is because of what I just described to you as what he calls Serech or Serech Truma. And the second reason is Mishum Nikius Kedusha. Cleanliness and Josh, can you translate Kedusha? Wow, that's pretty good. I thought you were going to say like sanctity or something, you know. So what do you mean? How are you translating it? Separated. So what do you mean then? So what would that mean? So you're washing your hands for what? Based on what you're saying, what should I have in mind when I wash my hands? You want to take it? You want to take a second?
Distinguishing ordinary from spiritual. Something.
It's tough, that. Right? Because kedusha. I'm not sure we know what it means. The Rambam has a section of his Mishneh Torah, right, which is a collection of all of Torah Shebaal Peh, and he has a Sefer called Sefer HaKedusha. Have you heard me ask this question before? What do you think the Rambam has in Sefer Kedusha? What topics? What would you think? Just, you know, forget anything we're discussing. Just if it was up to you. In other words, I'm not saying this to make fun of you. I'm saying it to create a contrast. Is it surprising what the Rambam includes or is that obvious what we would expect? So you want to throw out something you would expect to be in the book of Kedusha? Most people say Shabbos. Maybe davening. Spiritual things. The Rambam has three things. Buckle your seatbelts. Shechita. Forbidden food and forbidden women. Food and women. Eating and sex. That's the Rambam has to say for Kedusha. What is the message that you would derive from the Rambam's title? How does it relate to his topics? What do you mean? The most animalistic things that man can do, where he's less different from animal. The Rambam says those are specifically the areas of Kedusha. Meaning when we engage things that are extremely physical in ways that reflect, we're acting differently than the animals, we're relating to these things in specific ways with a consciousness, with a mindfulness, so that's the concept of Kedusha. Which is, wow, a fascinating message. And the Rambam doesn't spell it out. He just titles his section on those things. Which is interesting. So the Mishnah Berurah, back to the Tilas Yadayim, he says the second reason for the Takana Midrabanan, that when you're going to eat bread, you need to wash your hands, Mishnah Nikius is for cleanliness, Ukedusha and sanctity. And Kedusha. So based on what we just said, what would you say now? What do you mean Kedusha? I think you'd probably argue, right? This is what you're thinking, right? That because you're going to eat. So part and parcel of your sanctification of your animalistic behavior of consumption, you're going to make it into something that's a part of your service of Hashem. make it more spiritual in the sense that you're doing it with a mindful reason to be healthy, to serve Hashem, and it's not just an animalistic thing, and maybe washing your hands is part of that preparation. Wow. And he says, Samchu b'gemara kra, Samchu. Remember what smicha means? Lismoch, remember? It means to lean up against. To lean on, to rely on. That's why smicha is called smicha. So he says they pinned it, they leaned it. What do you mean leaned it? So this is called an asmachta. We discussed it a few times in Gemara. Then asmachta, because it's the same shoresh, smach, and it means to lean something against something else. In other words, when there's a halacha that's totally midirabbanon, but they tie it into something in Chumash. They tie it into something. They lean it up against something like that. What do they lean it up against? Sanctify yourselves and be holy, be sanctified. Okay, so there are two reasons for washing one's hands for bread. So I think we're already starting to develop a little bit of a theory here, because the question that we want to answer is, what are we supposed to think about when we wash our hands, quote-unquote, ritually? Like, what's that about? Why should I wash my hands? So if you want to tell me, and I guess this is the easiest thing to say, can you make a bracha or do mitzvahs or do anything if your hands are actually just like dirty with really dirty things? So you'll say, on one hand maybe, why not, you know? On the other hand, well, you're not supposed to say Hashem's name when there's actual filth on a person's body. And that, I guess, is rooted in proper kavod, right? Proper respect. You certainly wouldn't approach anybody of great stature or status if you weren't dressed properly or clean, you know? I mean, I guess guys don't really say so much, but you'll learn as you, you know, it's Hashem, you get married and you have to go someplace with your wife, she always has to shower first, you know? You know, there's a big store in Muncie called Evergreen. It's like the kosher superstore. Everything, you know? And you have to have an invitation to go, because when you go, it's a wedding. Now, you probably don't relate to it so much, but anybody who's ever been there, everyone that walks in is like dressed for a chasna. People like dress up to go shopping. Could tell you. Anyway, so what is this idea? What's this idea of washing hands? Okay, so you ready? We're going to take a little tour. I find one of the most difficult jobs of a rabbi is figuring out what to speak about. You know, if I would just learn, and we would just have like, you know, this is the next Amud in the Gemara, so you know exactly what you're going to do the next day. But when you're trying to figure out something to say that's going to be interesting, inspirational, relevant, you spend a lot of time figuring out what to say. You don't feel bad for me, Josh? Oh, sorry. So I was trying to figure out what to say Friday night. And I was going through the parasha, and I wanted to avoid the beginning of the parasha, because everyone always talks about the beginning of the parasha. And at the end of Pekudei, like I described to you a few minutes ago, it talks about Moshe Rabbeinu setting everything up. And he sets up this thing called the Kior. And I would have expected the Torah to just tell me that he set it up, they washed their hands, and him and Aaron, his sons, did whatever they needed to do. The funny thing is, not like ha-ha funny, is that it gives us the instruction about what you're supposed to do with the Kior again. By the way, in case you forgot what I told you in last week's parsha, maybe 2 weeks ago if not a double parsha, in Kisisa, I wanted you to make the Kior, and you're going to wash their hands and the feet, the Kohanim wash their hands and feet before they go into the Kodesh, or before they go onto the Mizbeach to do Avoda, so they have to wash their hands and feet. So that's an instruction when it was instructed to be built, which makes sense, right? This is what I want you to build, and this is what you're going to do with it. Here it tells us, and they put it up, and they brought certain karbanos. And by the way, in case you forgot, they have to wash their hands and feet whenever they do this. Well, didn't say that about everything else. And didn't say, and build the shulchan, and they put up the shulchan, and they put the lechem upon him, which, by the way, you better do every time. It doesn't say that over it, does it? By the menorah, make sure you light it all. So only by the kior does it repeat the instruction that you have to do with it every single time. I thought that was very curious. So I noticed, and there's a sefer called the Torah Tamima. The Torah Tamima, what he does is he goes through the psukim and quotes a lot of different chazals on the psukim that are most of the time some kind of halacha. Every once in a while he'll quote something that's more like a gadic in nature, but most of the time it's all things that are relevant to halacha. So it gives you an interesting insight of connection between the Tarsha Baal Peh and the Tarsha Bichsav, which I always find very fascinating. See, it's interesting that here he has a comment. And he says, he quotes in the Gemara, "Ein richutz yadayim v'raglayim bibama." This pasuk, the repetition of the pasuk, and he has his angle on that, is repeated to teach you a halacha that the only time Kohanim, or whoever's bringing a korban, have to wash their hands or feet is when it's one of these cases, going into the heichal, bringing a korban on the mizbeach, and not some other time. What do you mean? What would be the time a person's bringing a korban he doesn't have to wash his hands or feet? So I don't know if you're aware of this, but before the Beis HaMikdash was really designated, you were allowed to have a mizbeach in your backyard. It could be your front yard too, or the side, it doesn't matter. But the point is, it doesn't have to be in the actual Beis HaMikdash. There's clearly disadvantages to that because there's no central place everyone's bringing their korbanos, so okay. But that was historically what was true, it was a fact. People had bamos until they became this real central location for the Beis HaMikdash. Yeah, good? Certain things you're allowed to bring on a bama, certain things you're not allowed to bring on a bama. But be that as it may, the Gemara says, at the time that those bamos were permissible, you did not have to wash your hands or feet in order to bring your sacrifice on your bama. Okay. I said to myself, Tums. Tums.
Tums.
Translate. Understand. Mefarshim. So what? This is my acronym. You don't know my acronym? Whenever you have a pasuk, or really anything, so you first have to translate what it means. So sometimes it's easy and sometimes it's not so easy. Sometimes we make assumptions about translation of words, and maybe like Kedusha was a good example today. What does it really mean? Then we have to understand like what that really means. I mean, just because you translated a word and you got it in English, so you got to go to second step. Like what are the consequences? Like what does that mean? Sometimes you are comfortable at that point, sometimes you have questions. So you got to go to the M, you got to go to the Mefarshim, and either they'll answer your questions or they'll give you new questions. But whatever it is, at the end of the day, you've learned it. Now you have to ask yourself, how is this relevant to anything in my life? That's the S. So what? So I said to myself, this is an interesting halacha. You don't have to wash your hands or feet before you bring a korban in your backyard altar. I said, so what? Is that obvious? Is it not obvious? And I always say to myself, whenever there's a chazal and they say something, it must be it's not obvious. How do I know it's not obvious? Because if it was obvious, the Gemara says, pshita. Pshita. Why is the Gemara always saying pshita? Because there's no such thing as a chazal that says something obvious. Never. If it does, the Gemara will catch it and will say, I don't need you to say that. Pshita. That's obvious. Which means that nothing in chazal is obvious. So if you find a statement, it means there's a chiddush there. What's a chiddush? So what do you mean? I would have thought, what's the point of washing your hands and feet? It's some sort of preparatory thing. It's supposed to put you in the right frame of mind. I don't know. It's supposed to be cleanliness, honor. We got to put our finger on this a little bit more because we'll just try to spell out that a little bit. If it's about cleanliness, so then just make sure your hands are clean, right? If it's some sort of preparation, well, why do you have to wash your hands for preparation? And feet. We discussed in Gemara the other day, we talked about brachos. And we said, why do we make brachos before a mitzvah? Do you remember this? Why do we make a bracha before a mitzvah? Chazal say, if you want to enjoy the world, so then you're not allowed to just take something from Hashem's world until you make a bracha. It's basically like asking Hashem permission to partake in something that's His. Yeah? And the Rambam has this crazy lashon where he writes, and the same thing applies to a mitzvah. Just not what we would have expected him to say. Why? Because a mitzvah is not like I'm not allowed to do it until I make a bracha to be matir it for me. What do you mean? What does that mean? So it seems like the Rambam is saying that in order to approach a Kaddish Baruch Hu, you have to ask permission.
When you take 3 steps forward, 3 steps back, 3 steps
forward. Maybe.
Well, isn't that the idea of
so leaving the world and coming into a new position, maybe to remind yourself that yes, don't you know lose your track, don't lose focus. So we do things to put ourselves into the right frame of mind, And one would argue that that's exactly what a bracha is. Maybe a little differently what the Rambam says, or maybe it's related to what the Rambam says, but whatever. Why wash your hands and feet? So I started pondering this, and the Torah Tamimah himself wants to know why there's a discrepancy between a bama and the Mizbeach and the Beis HaMikdash, and he answers, because there's no Shechina in most people's backyards. Now, there's always a presence of Hashem everywhere, but he reveals himself, he's more accessible in certain places, however we'll understand that. But there's a presence of Hashem's Shechina in Beis HaMikdash, which doesn't exist in a person's backyard. And therefore, when a person is bringing a sacrifice in his backyard, he's sacrificing to Hashem, but he doesn't need to prepare himself for the experience of connecting to the Shechina. Interesting, right? V'hakol mitam ha'eder hashras ha'shechina. Anyway, okay, so what does all this have to do with us? So what we're saying now is washing hands and feet, according to what the Torah Tamimah is suggesting, is really about what? It's not just about preparing yourself to do a mitzvah, because if that's what it was about, then you'd have to do it for a bama too. And the fact of the matter is, we don't have to wash our hands before we do every mitzvah. There's no such thing. Rambam quotes three things: eating, Shema, and Shemona Esrei. So how do you relate to that? Like, what does that mean? So what is washing hands all about? Why are we doing it? So let's try to put our finger on it a little bit. Okay, so let's go through this. The Mishnah Berurah, when he gets to this idea of you have to wash your hands, we don't wash our feet for whatever reason, we have to wash our hands to daven. He says the reason for this, you have to take a look earlier in Siman Daled. Why, what's in Siman Daled? Siman Daled is right after you wake up in the morning. When you wake up in the morning, you're supposed to wash your hands, right? Why? What? Maybe there's some sort of tumah from sleeping. When a person's sleeping, it's considered to be, to a certain extent, almost dead. Maybe there's a certain degree that his neshama is able to be less attached to his body in some sense. So there are chazals that talk about dreams. There's differences between dreams in the beginning of the night, the middle of the night, the end of the night. Because in the beginning of the night, a person still has to digest all his Chinese food, you know. And then Mexican, who knows what. If you have dreams about sombreros and maracas, you know. Anyway, so, but when his body is settled, so it could very well be that his neshama is experiencing certain things that are reflected to him, and maybe it's the future in a certain way, and all kinds of things. So we take dreams pretty seriously, not, you know, it's a 60th of nevuah, a taste of what nevuah is like, if it's at the right time, and the neshama is really experiencing something. So the Mishnah Berurah writes, the reason you have to wash your hands in the morning is for two reasons. Number one, the rush. The rush writes, because a person's hands are busy, they're doing things, he's not keeping track of them, especially when he's sleeping. And it's impossible he didn't touch some part of his body that's normally covered. And that's when you have to wash your hands. Oh, look at this. For Kriya Shema and Tefillah. So a person's going to wake up in the morning, he's probably not having bread yet, because you're not supposed to eat before you daven. So he's going to say Kriya Shema, he's going to daven, so he's got to wash his hands. Why? Because we're probably, I don't know, I wouldn't say dirty, but I'd say, you know, he touched covered parts of his body, sweat, whatnot, so he's got to wash his hands for Kriya Shema and Tefillah. Okay, that's one reason. So it just has to do with touching parts of your body that, you know, you got to wash your hands after you touch them. And the Rashba, after a person wakes up in the morning, anu na'asim kibriya chadasha. We become like a, how do you translate that? A briya chadasha. A briya means a creation from the word bore. Briya chadasha, chadash. No. He's like a new creation. And he quotes a pasuk for that. So therefore, we have to give thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu who created us, to give him honor and to serve him and to bless his name. And that's why we have all of these brachas in the morning. And also, L'hiskadesh b'kedusha. So, to sanctify ourselves in His kedusha, v'litol yadeinu min hakli. You ready for this? And to, I'll translate it as, wash our hands from a kli. K'kohen shemekadesh yadav min hakior. Kodem avodaso. Just like a kohen would, and you see the word he uses, mekadesh yadav. Sanctify his hands. It doesn't say wash his hands. He says sanctify his hands from the kior before he would do avoda. Okay, so now there are two reasons for washing our hands in the morning. There's the Rush and there's the Rashba. The Rush says cleanliness, and the Rashba says because we're like a new creation and we have to view ourselves and remind ourselves in the morning what we're doing here, what our life is about, what we're doing in the world. We have to remind ourselves, we're like a Kohen. We're here to do Avodah. You have to wash your hands for Mincha. This Takana for washing hands for davening. So if it's first thing in the morning, so I understand the Rashba, but it shouldn't apply to Mincha, right? Because Mincha, you didn't, and most people haven't slept overnight. Most times, even if you took a nap, it's not morning, you know, it's still daytime. So why should you wash your hands for a mincha? And I'll let you know the secret. It says in Shulchan Aruch that you're supposed to wash your hands for a mincha too. So the Rush seems to be correct the way we follow it, la halacha, that it's all about, you know, some kind of cleanliness or something like that, no? So make sure your hands are clean. What's the big deal? Why do you have to wash your hands with water? Does it have to be with a kli? Does it not have to be with a kli? Okay, so we want to know why we wash our hands. What's the significance of washing our hands? And what do we know for sure? We know that there's a Rambam that says that even supposed to make a bracha. It's a real takana midrabanan in three areas: eating, shema, and tefillah. And the Rambam says when it comes to tefillah, that if a person doesn't wash his hands, he's actually not yotze, which is an incredible thing to say.
Is it the same bracha for all three?
On the tefillah siyadayim, same bracha. It could be there are different reasons for each one of those three. That's what we would have to try to put our finger on a little bit. But the Rambam is so, as they say, Yiddish stark. He's so strong about this that, wow, it's a bracha, and you got to do it. So I just want to bring out halach lemaise. How does this work? So the Mishnah Berurah, after telling us, if you want to know the reason to wash our hands, you got to go back to what we just discussed, the Rush cleanliness, the Rashba, Bria Chadasha. And then he says, V'gam l'tfilas mincha ve'arvis. Mincha and Ma'ariv also tzarech netila. You have to wash your hands. V'das haRambam. This is the Mishnah Berurah in Siman Tzadi Beis. The Rambam holds the heicha tzarech nikal yadav le'nata. If you have to wash your hands and you didn't, gam le'nika yisam b'tzror. You didn't even wipe them on something. Afilu b'di'eved in tefila. So tefila, even post facto, you're not yotzei davening. V'tzarech il medina. And you have to really figure out what's the halacha lamaisa. Wow, like he's actually considering that we pass in like the Rambam. And if a person didn't wash his hands and he didn't wipe them, what if they're clean? It sounds like he has to do an action, whether they're clean or not. And if he didn't, he says tzarech yun ladina. But then he adds at the end, va'ayin bir halacha. Take a look at my section called the bir halacha. Should be our new, where we explained over there, De'ein Choser Umispalel, that I think halacha lemaise, you don't daven again. So that's the Mishnah Berurah Paskin. But it's such a powerful idea that he's almost ready to say, I'm not sure, the Rambam says you're not yotzei tefillah. Could be, you're not yotzei tefillah until you do an action of preparing yourself by washing, at least cleaning your hands in one way or another. Wow. So I want to share with you one more thing. The Ramban in Parshas Kisisa, which talks about the kiyor and washing hands, he has a comment there. And he starts off, you know, saying, I guess what we would all basically assume, that washing our hands is kind of kavod. You know, it's preparatory, but, you know, you want to make sure you're clean or something. So the Ramban says this washing of hands that the Kohanim had to do from the Kiyor. Derech kavod shelamala. It's a manner of honoring that which is above. Yeah, so very simple. It's just, you know, It's proper kavod that when you approach Hashem, you wash your hands first. Kikola karev l'shulchan ha-melechem l'shareis. Whenever a person is going to get close to the table of kings to serve, v'liga bepas, and he's going to touch the bread of the king, uvayayin, or the wine that he's drinking, rochet yadav bavur ayos yadayim askanios. You got to wash your hands because whatever, hands have touched other things. It's not right. So you're going to serve the king, they have to be clean. Now he's seemingly bothered by, okay, but most people, and you know, monkeys being the exception, are not serving anything with their feet. So why would you have to wash your feet? Because they're serving Hashem barefoot. There's no big day kahuna for the hands and the feet. They had to be barefoot. And, you know, it could happen that people's feet are dirty. So since that's the way they have to, it's not as strong as the hands, right? The hands, you sort of get a better sense of it. But he's saying, but since they're barefoot, so their feet may act literally be dirty, they have to wash them. Okay, fine, wash them. Then he says, Val derech ha-emes. Now, I want to let you know that whenever the Ramban says, Al derech ha-emes, he tells us that he's going to speak about Kabbalah. And he says, don't try to understand what I'm telling you, because you're not going to understand it unless you already know what I'm talking about. So why am I writing this? Because those people, they know what I'm talking about, so they'll get a lot of insight, chizuk, you know, for all the things that I'm mentioning over here. But he's just letting us know, and the reason that we're learning it together is because we need to know that there are things that we do that have a lot more significance than we might realize. And here is just a hint to that. According to Kabbalah, why should they wash their hands and feet? But for Hayos, Rosh Adam v'sofo, so that the head of a person and his end, what do you mean the head of the person and his end? Hayadayim v'haraglayim. The hands and the feet are the head and the end of a person. Why is he saying that? Ki hayadayim l'mala mikol gufo, bagviosan, because the highest a person could reach is his hands when he lifts them all the way up. So his hands can be higher than his head. So the hands are the highest he's going to get. V'haraglayim lamata. And his feet are the lowest that he's going to get. They're at the bottom. V'heim b'tsuras ha'adam. And they are in the image of the ideal man, the spiritual construct of what man is supposed to represent. We're a reflection of a spiritual dynamic that Hashem created. And when it says in the Torah, we're in the image of Hashem, it means we're in the image of something that Hashem created that represents a dynamic of the world. And when you look into man, you can see a reflection of that dynamic. So there's something to this, that the hands can be the top and the bottom. Remez le'eser ha-sfiros, she'akol gufo b'nehem. It's a hint to what's called the 10 sfiros, and that his body should be within them. Now, we don't know what the Ramban is referring to, right? But we know that Kadosh Baruch Hu relates to the world through something called the 10 spheros. Chachma, Bina, Das, Chesed, Gvura, Tiferet, all of those spheros, that's how Hashem connects and relates to the world. And apparently we're supposed to put our body into them, within them, somehow connect to them. Kamo Amr by Sefer Yetzirah, and he quotes from Kabbalah from Sefer Yetzirah, that Hashem made a covenant with the 10 fingers of one's hands, and between the 10 toes of his feet. What are the two covenants that have to do with the upper 10 and the lower 10? The upper 10 is the covenant of the lips. They're only supposed to say certain things. And the covenant that has to do with the bris milah. Those represent the covenant between the upper 10 and the lower 10. So we don't really have a sense what the Ramban is referring to. We have a general idea that he's saying there's some sort of dynamic over here, and that we represent that, and our hands and toes now represent the 10 spheres above and below that we're supposed to be putting ourselves within. But for that reason, he says, the misharsei elyon, those who are serving the Most High, the Kohanim, are commanded lirchotz hayadayim ra'elagan, to wash their hands and feet. Harachita zos lekedusha tigamos unkelos, and this is a sanctification. Okay, pause for a second. So the Ramban's idea is that the Kohanim need to place themselves in the Sphiros to be able to do what they need to do. So on a very, very, very basic level, what's he saying? That because what the Kohanim are doing has a tremendous impact on the world. They're bringing Karbonos. So everything that they're going to do is going to be tremendous influence, energy. It's going to impact the world. So they have to know what they're doing. They have to prepare for it. And then they have to be able to connect to those spheros and realize that they're within those spheros and allow those spheros to function and do whatever it is that they need to do. So they have to sanctify their hands and feet to represent those things so that they can at least begin to relate to what they're doing, which would be very unique to the situation they're in, namely korbanos. But it's not going to necessarily be the same thing when we're talking about the, you know, eating bread or, I don't know, other things. Wow, so that's a fascinating idea. Now, if I would ask you, we know the Chazal decreed netilas yadayim for bread and for shaman for tefillah. If you were the Ramban, where would you discuss, if you wanted to, this concept of washing hands for davening? So in the beginning, right, when he talks about kavod, right, that's it. We wouldn't connect it to this, though, this concept of kabbalah, you wouldn't connect it to that, right? The Ramban goes on to say, because of this concept of the fingers and toes representing the spheros, tiknu rabu senu netilas yadayim letefillah. That's why we wash our hands for davening. Sheyiskavein lazeh, that a person should have kavana, that he's putting himself within all those spheros and allowing this dynamic and all of the influence of Hashem to flow to the world. Kitam nesios kapayim, just like a Kohen washes his hands to give brachas with his 10 fingers to Klal Yisrael. And then he says a couple of things too. But wow, so Ravan is saying that there's a lot more to washing our hands for davening than just cleanliness or preparation or whatever the Indian may be. He's saying it's specifically the hands. And with the Kohanim, their toes too. So we don't do the toes. We just do the hands. Maybe there's a reason for that. But he doesn't explain that. And the Indian is that we want to make sure we understand that when we daven, is davening related to karbanos? How so? Give me an example. Why do we daven 3 times a day? Because there are 2 main korbanos we brought every day, shachris and mincha. There's a korban tamid of the morning and a tamid of the afternoon. And marav corresponds to all of the leftover parts that had to be burnt in overnight. That's why it was originally optional. So there is a heavy-duty connection between the two. So when we daven, we're kohanim bringing korbanos. So do we have to wash our hands and theoretically our feet? It's 100%. So, full circle, question is why do we wash our hands? So the first thing we said was, well, the Kohanim have to wash their hands before they eat their truma, so not to be metame the truma. And Klal Yisrael has to wash their hands altogether, it's a Kohanim, you know. So that's interesting. That may be distinct from this idea or may not be distinct from this idea. And then there's Shema, which we really didn't discuss at all. And then there's Tefillah, which is what we did begin to discuss. Why Tefillah specifically? Because the source for washing hands is Karbanos. The Kior was one of the Kelim of the Beis HaMikdash. It was a preparatory Kli. It wasn't one of the Kelim you actually do service with. It's a prereq, it's a preparatory Kli. And they had to wash their hands and feet. So at least that's the beginning place to start. So we saw the Torah Tamimah, and he says that there's a halacha here because of the repetition of the instruction to wash. You only have to wash when it's the mizbeach, not when it's your own korban in your backyard. But what? If the whole reason for washing your hands is just to prepare yourself, put yourself into the right frame of mind, so wash for that too. Why not for a bama? So he answers because you're really preparing yourself for Hashras Hashchina. Okay. And the Ramban really pushes that to the limit. What do you mean Hashras Hashchina? It means because the reason you're washing your hands and feet in those situations, based on Mikdash, let's say, is because you are heavy duty involved in bringing the influence of a Kaddish Baruch Hu and that energy to the world. And that's represented by the 10 fingers on the 10 toes, which represent the 10 spheros. So you need to know that you are responsible for all of that energy that's coming through. So you have to wash your hands before you do it. But that's only in the Beis HaMikdash when you're doing Avodah, so that connects to Tefillah. Because when we're davening, that's exactly what we're accomplishing. That's how we bring korbanos to Zman HaZeh. The davening. So every single one of us has to realize that when we daven, wash your hands. And have in mind that because what we're about to do is connect ourselves to the Sefiros HaKadosh Baruch and allow them to do their job in the world. So why not just be clean? Why is the Rambam so stark? You have to make sure that you wash your hands and you're not Yotzei Davening. So I don't know what the Rambam would say what the Ramban says, because the Ramban was very much a Makobol, and the Rambam maybe had Kabbalah at the end of his life. We don't really know. But nonetheless, the Rambam in Halacha, so he learns that that's the case. You're not Yotzei Davening. To do an action of washing your hands. So the significance for us is because we need to put ourselves into the right frame of mind to realize what we're doing with our tefillos. We should never think for a minute that our tefillos is just, well, you know, if I have to ask Hashem for something, so, you know, I'll think about what I'm saying when I'm davening. But every single one of us, when we daven, are impacting the world. There are spheros that we need to take part in, that we need to connect to the world and allow their influence to flow. It's very much a responsibility to Klal Yisrael, our tefillos. It's not just for me. But Klal Yisrael needs to do all of that for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So I leave you with one last idea. Rav Shmuel Shaval Hirsch points out, as I mentioned, that there's a big day kahuna for every part of the body, except for two, or maybe three. Hands and feet have no big day kahuna. The face also, interestingly enough, doesn't have any big day kahuna. And I don't know what to make of this, but Adam HaRishon, how many parts of his body did he cover? None. Originally. None. And after he sinned, so we wear clothes. And most people in the world still, what do they cover? Everything, except for their hands, sometimes their feet, and their face. But everything else gets covered. So isn't it interesting that what's left from Adam HaRishon is Panav Yadav Raglav? It's your face, your hands, and your feet. Everything else has been corrupted, you know. But those things are the same the way they always were. So those are the things that we have to sanctify. Those are the things that we have to wash. That's the big day kahuna of the hands and feet, says Rosh Hashanah Shofar Hirsch. Is the washing of them, but not to cover them with something else. Anyway, lots to think about, but at least that's the beginning. The halacha lamaisa of it is, says the Mishnah Berurah, that there is an inyan to wash your hands, at least clean them off before you daven. If there's no water available, clean them off. If there's water available, you gotta go get water. But b'diavad, if a person did daven, his hands are not dirty, so b'diavad, he does not have to daven again. It's the bottom line halacha. But the basic idea was, let's give ourselves some insights into what are we supposed to be thinking about, what's the significance of washing our hands. And we started today, I believe, just thinking it's, you know, being clean, you know, it's just like a nice thing to do. But we didn't really understand why we should wash our hands. Like, what's that more significant than, you know, than anything else? And when all is said and done, and you see this Ramban, you realize there's a lot more to this than meets the eye. What the fingers represent, and what that means in terms of our tefillos and karbanos. So definitely a lot to...